This is the Behave Yourself podcast, a podcast about behavioral science brought to you by the Busara Center for Behavioral Economics. I'm your host, Linda Kimaru. Last week started our three-part series on turning our behavioral science skill set inwards to improve work well-being and productivity. On this episode, we get a behind-the-scenes look at the process that's led to the development of an organization-wide experiment we plan to run on ourselves and understand whether we're working from home or living at work. Meet the team of Busarians who are making this happen. Alice, a senior manager in the projects division, and Martin, senior manager in people and culture. Listen in as Nenga takes you under the hood of a behavioral science firm.
Hey, Alice.
Hi, Nenga.
I'm curious, how exactly did this future of working group start? What led to it?
Yes, the Future of Work Working Group started basically a few months ago with the start of the pandemic, and that created the disruption that pushed us to think about how we want to work as an organization now, but also in the future. So basically, we're trying to question and deconstruct the norm and the status quo ways of working and ask ourselves what needs and can change. So we've engaged in a program of internal and external research to really understand first, our own challenges as Busara, how we can solve for them, and what work environments can fully optimize both well-being and also productivity.
What work stream exactly do you handle or deal with in this group?
So the work stream that I lead is more the internal research aspect. So our job is to gather internal perspective from our own staff into these future of work ideas. So here, the idea is that we want to stay true to our values and our approach. And just like we would do with any other kind of external projects, we want to make sure that we understand the context very well. And we understand the perceptions and the behaviors of the people that we're designing solutions for.
Why is that important? I mean, I get the idea of contextualizing, but why is it important to, you're a member of Busara, shouldn't you be able to then say, I think this is the way we should move?
Absolutely not. I think that'd be a great mistake because I think like behavior is very contextual, and even within a single organization, we're so many different individuals. We come from vastly different cultures, different walks of life, even socioeconomic status. So we have very different ways of viewing the world and also having different relationship with work. So me being a Busara doesn't make me the representative of Busara's opinion. So it's very important to really try to gather these diverse opinions and then try to really design around them by including them also in whatever final product or change that we're making.
Okay, that makes sense for sure. What are some of the most common challenges or pain points around what you have found that you think can be applied to different settings?
I think the challenges around work that we've seen in our little Busara research are probably very common to what other organizations are experiencing, maybe with a few exceptions. So the biggest change undoubtedly in the last 6 months has been the switch to work from home. And what we're getting from the research is that transition was pretty hard almost for everyone, but especially for people who did not have appropriate working conditions at home. So people who had kids, families, roommates, no quiet space to work from, or even common internet and power shortages. So it definitely took a lot of time to adjust for most people. And obviously, dealing with the shock and uncertainty of the situation, like that affected personal motivation and productivity a lot. Also for us at Busara, a challenge was to kind of deal with the many different time zone difference. So we have people coming from all over the world, and quite a few people flew back in their different home countries. And now even within the same country, people might suddenly have slightly different schedules because of this work from home, right? So all of that made it kind of difficult for projects to communicate effectively, and that affected team productivity. But what was surprising, and that's actually been backed with other research, is that after a few months, we see this kind of like hedonic adaptation. So that just means that people tend to kind of adapt and quickly return to a relatively stable level of happiness despite like major life changes. We're very resilient as a species. And so what we indeed see is that in the latest, we run these regular staff poll survey. And what we saw in the latest is that when we looked at satisfaction with work, work-life balance, self-reported productivity, self-reported stress, most of these were back to almost normal levels. And surprisingly, some were even higher than before the work from home situation. And what was striking on top of that is that this was despite people reporting longer work hours when working from home. So getting to work slightly earlier and stopping work a bit later. So why are people feeling more satisfied with the situation even as they work more? Well, I think that's that here, like looking at, you know, sense of control over one's schedule and flexibility and feeling of gaining some time back might be some important psychological drivers. So in terms of sense of control and flexibility, employees really appreciated the fact that they can align work hours with responsibilities at home, especially if they have families, right? So it's about adapting work around their family duties rather than doing the opposite. In terms of gaining time back, what we've seen is that actually a lot of employees used to spend several hours per day, sometimes up to 4 hours, in commuting to the office, to and back to the office. And sometimes in either, you know, Nairobi, Lagos, or Delhi traffic, which isn't fun at all. So people have kind of now regained that time and also that bit of money back. And I think, you know, sense of time is subjective and you can really never really get enough of it. So what will be interesting is to see like how long will this feeling of having gained that time back will last. And we're already seeing that people are starting to feel again like they're missing time, even if they objectively now have more, you know, quality time, I guess, than before the work from home. Another challenge that we've identified that's probably very common to a lot of our other organizations is the sense of disconnection with the workplace. So again, in the latest staff survey, this sense of connectedness with colleagues dropped by around 10 percentage points or so from before working from home. And this is, you know, again, really common to a lot of organizations. We've talked a lot already about this, including in the last podcast with Laurie Forster on the importance of informal chats, bumping into people, and how that's important, like personally, but also professionally. And that's, you know, has quite important consequences on motivation. So people are not getting their social kick out of the day. But more importantly, it's harder for people to feel connected, therefore valued and supported by their colleagues, which are big drivers of motivation. And all these things are things that, you know, people report themselves. And so to recreate that social sense online is a bit difficult. And definitely, Busara, I think we've still not figured this out, but we're seeing some kind of example of like a positive deviance, right? Where smaller working teams are managing to recreate that sense of community with very intentional practices, such as, you know, like taking the time for social chats before you go into work talk, or trying to really instill the sense of like, we're in this together, we're supporting each other, we're sharing a common experience, you, me, all of us. And I think that's what people need to feel at this moment.
Right. So what came out as the flip side to doing your research?
Yeah. So I guess like what you're asking is like, what is next, right? Like what would an ideal situation look like, at least from what we're seeing from the research? So yeah. In terms of, I guess, what's next, so I think that people are now kind of like addicted and really used to this flexibility and sense of control that we were just talking about. And, you know, as with all good things and as behavior scientists know, it's going to be hard to be taking this away from people without them feeling like they're losing something important. So, yeah, I think that people who say that things will never really be the same regarding work norms are probably right. But that's also probably for the best. So in terms of this, you know, control and flexibility, I think there's two dimensions of flexibility that people want to retain. The first one is location-wise. So it seems pretty clear from the research that people want to keep the flexibility to work from home, but not only just from home, but also from remote locations if they can. especially that now that I think people have experienced how they can make it work for them. But what's interesting is that it doesn't mean that office is just obsolete and we should get rid of it. People do want to have the option of coming back to the office, maybe one or a few days a week. And a big majority of people want to do this mainly to see their colleagues. And the second dimension of flexibility is like these working hours. So when we actually look at what are the hours that people report working, it's actually pretty standard. So we were expecting like crazy hours, and sure, we've seen some outliers where, you know, that start work very early in the morning or really late at night. But from our quantitative survey, you know, most of them had a, like, on average, a typical like 9 to 5-ish schedule. But what we're seeing is that people want to have the possibility of deviating from that when they want to or when they need to. So again, that's a sense of control. And, you know, if we're talking about working hours, another frontier to explore is this 5 days a week working structure. So we've tried at Vusara to give everyone half day off on Fridays. And the results that we see from research from that mini experiment look quite promising. So even the most skeptical employees got on board with it eventually. And overall, people report that they feel like they can do all they have to do during the week. They don't necessarily compensate by longer hours in other days, which we were kind of worried about, but they're feeling more productive on those other days. And in general, just have an increased sense of work-life balance. Can we extend this to the whole day? Maybe that's another experiment to try.
That's a pretty interesting point, but there's something that you said which stood out for me, which is the office as it stands as a brick and mortar institution may not necessarily be obsolete, mm-hmm. which I thought it would, especially when people are talking about working from home. So you saying that, I mean, research shows that at a certain point, people just, you want to see your colleagues. And I guess that's just because working from home means that your family becomes your colleagues, and that doesn't necessarily work out as well as you would expect, right? So you've mentioned a couple of things, and I just want to ask you if you can pinpoint some of the insights that stood out for you from this research.
I think for me, what stood out was to kind of understand what works well, but for whom. I think that's also something we apply a lot in our work externally in terms of, you know, okay, behavior insights, solutions, yes, but for whom? And we've seen that the one-size-fits-all approaches and solutions are often not optimal. And I think it's the same when we're thinking about work. So I'll give you an example of something I find interesting from the research that illustrates this. It's the impact of working from home on work-life balance. And we saw that it was quite different actually for junior versus more senior staff. So for junior staff, we saw like very big gains in terms of work-life balance. But that was mostly because of the very significant amount of time that was saved on transports. I was mentioning those commuting hours and also these small money gains on transports, because junior staff tend to live further away from the office. From senior staff, there's not a huge gains in terms of transport or time saving, because they tended to live closer to the office. And actually, on the flip side of that, sometimes there is a negative effect because these senior staff tended to work much later in the day and have more trouble separating life and work, which caused some additional stress. So what might be a big gain for one group was a bit of a loss for another. And that's just one example of how we need to look at those insights and our future solutions in terms of how different segments of employees might benefit or be disadvantaged by them.
Nice. It's surprising how the same bit of research can tell you two different things about two different groups. You're asking the exact same questions. That's fascinating. Okay, cool. That's it. Alice, thank you.
Thank you, Nanga.
It's time now for a quick break, but when we come back, Nanga speaks to Vusara's People and Culture Senior Manager, Martin, about the unique challenges that Vusara's work from home policy has had to solve for and his insights on the future of work. We'll be right back with the Behave Yourself podcast.
Hey, Martin. So Alice has just given context and background on the future of work group that was created and a bit of insight on the work stream she handles and why it's important. What work stream do you lead?
Thank you, Nenga. Yeah, I lead the Organization of Feasibility and Approvals workstream within the Future of Work Working Group. The idea of this workstream is to collect all the ideas that created within the Future of Work Working Group, basically sense check them, and also take them through a check in terms of our policies, in terms of the way we operate, and see whether they match up. Imagine the Future of Work has gone through testing an intervention, researching an intervention, testing it, maybe doing a bit of surveying within the organization. It has been liked. It's going to be a positive product to ship to the organization. I would take that and review the aspects of the policy, like, hey, does it meet basic requirements of the law? Like, are we overworking people by asking them to work one day in a week? Or are we making sure that whatever policies out there meets thresholds, like respecting annual leave needs or holiday needs, respecting the working hours in a week? What would be the cost of this policy in terms of the cost of employment to the organization? Whatever policy we roll out, we likely have a cost associated to it. Is it something that we are ready to go with as an organization? And then to sort of sum it all up, is it something that can be then rolled out as a nice policy that is easily manageable? So if you think about it, policies like leave started off what we are thinking in the Future of Work back in the day. Guys needed some time to rest. And then that was converted into a policy. And now we know how to manage leave in the organization. We know how we even ask managers to schedule the leave for their staff over maybe a period of a quarter or a year. And now think of this Future of Work policies going through the same kind of iteration and making sure that we are able to apply it nicely and comfortably and, you know, effectively at Pusara.
A lot of what you've spoken about has to do with how you are handling staff members currently, yes, and the policies that affect them. But yes, then how some of the policies that you're considering would affect recruitment and acquisition. Can you give a lens to that?
Definitely. So when you think about the Future of Work, it lends attention also to an area in HR around talent and acquisition and needing for Busara to think wide in terms of how we hire. Simple things like, are we hiring someone who is comfortable with working in an organization that has a very diverse thinking of work? You have to match the talent to the type of culture you have in the organization. So we do have individuals who are more accustomed to a structured work environment, a 9-to-5, and they would not probably feel successful in an organization that attempts something different, assuming that Busara in its Future of Work interventions comes up with a whole new flip to the work day. So whatever policy comes out of the Future of Work should also inform how we recruit. Who are these people who we hire? Are they able to come into Busara and feel comfortable with the culture? And even when you think about how we recruit in the future, are we thinking about traditional recruiting, having someone come in to sit in an office? Or are you even thinking of having teams that are forever remote and not necessarily need to have a physical office to come to and making Busara move to the next step of remote working and recruiting actual remote workers? So these are all things we are looking at. And the Future of Work interventions are likely to affect the entire employee life cycle, all the way from hiring to transitioning out.
I like that. Okay, so, I mean, one of the things that has happened, especially given this current global situation, is that work from home is now the current. I mean, even as we talk about Future of Work, I feel that it's no longer really about the future. It's how we currently are working. It's just setting it in place in such a way that everyone is comfortable with it. So what are the challenges as Busara and as a member of the Busara people team that you've experienced with having people work from home?
The first challenge was, how do you get everybody communicating to each other? When we were in the office, we only had one internet bill to think about. We only had one power bill to think about. But now you're asking guys to go work from home. How is the internet set up at home? Are there frequent power outages in the area they stay? Will they be affected by so many things now that people are spread out all over the world? So when we say work from home, Busara is a very diverse organization. So we have guys from all over the world. What happens on this side of the world is probably not happening on the other side. So someone is offline because they were cut off, maybe by weather or something like that, or the internet shut down. So some of these things now became a reality quite quickly. And then how do you support staff at this point? Yeah. It's easy to offer HR services to, or people services to everyone seated in an office. But now that everybody is dispersed, how then do you offer HR or people service? Like, how do you engage staff who are dispersed? Yeah. But then even as we went on through the months, then the challenges morphed from the internet is stable now. I understand how my house works. I've set up a small office. But then the challenge now becomes, okay, I'm getting disconnected with my staff. I'm losing a sense of what is work, what is home. Mm-hmm. I'm getting challenges with even being focused at work for a whole day. So I have distractions. I have very few hours of focused work. Right. So all this now morphed from challenges that are physical or are challenges you can point at, and became challenges that are more psychological now. And you have to also support staff on that end and offer opportunities like just catching up online, sharing challenges. For instance, at Busara, we've been able to have these forums on Slack where guys just chat. Parents have this Slack channel where they can go and just pass ideas on how they're dealing with working from home with kids at home. So it's been a learning experience. It's been a learning curve for all of us, even within the football team, just trying to think how to keep guys engaged. But you see, the beauty is that it has then morphed all these needs around thinking about future of work. This was something that we could have easily postponed or probably deprioritized. But then the work from home situation has sort of pushed it to the limelight, and now we have to discuss it and think wide and think far.
Okay, I get that. Especially when you're speaking, you know, how to keep staff engaged, because I'm assuming a part of it is also how to keep them motivated, and how to do that from home must be a hard sell. I'd really like to hear you speak a bit more about some of the activities that you've put in place to keep everybody connected.
So instead of doing away with all activities, we basically just made them virtual. So a virtual happy hour, virtual game nights, virtual sessions to just chat and discuss and catch up on what everybody is watching on TV or streaming online. So changing those activities that would have been random office activities that guys laugh about and discuss in passing, making that hype still remain even in virtual hangouts. Yeah, it's even extending a meeting some few minutes to catch up, or starting a meeting a little early to have this session where you just chat and catch up on what everyone is doing. A good example is we have a team that will do a quick house tour of each member every time they meet, and they walk around their houses and and just show off a little bit. This is something that probably would have happened in what guys call in the office small talk or water cooler talk or something like that. So making sure that those small moments are not getting forgotten or getting lost because we are all working from home. It doesn't become all about business, because we have that risk of, because it's work from home, the only time I reach out to my colleagues is work. So infusing that with Zoom sessions for goofing around at least.
Okay. I can imagine the prep for that, especially when you're talking welcome to my home, because I'd have to make sure laundry is put aside and the place looks neat before I let my workmates see what my living room looks like. Yeah.
Yes, we probably did encourage guys to clean up quite a bit.
Okay. Beforehand, you sent them out and told them, you know, like tidy up a bit.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. I like that. So I think that's it, Martin. Thank you so much for making time.
And that's it. A huge thank you to the Busarians on this episode, Alice, Nenga, and Martin. Next time, the final episode of this series, we take you into the ideation stage of the future of work and show you what our process was coming up with new solutions and policies to enhance and transform our work culture. Remember to subscribe to the podcast to get an alert as soon as that's out. Behave Yourself is a podcast produced by the Busara Center for Behavioral Economics. You can find us on Twitter. Our handle is @BusaraCenter, and read more about the work that we do on the Busara blog on Medium. Until next time, remember, behave yourself.